As we open up your word, you'd speak again to our hearts. God, you would speak to us personally. God, that you would lead us and guide us. And Lord, help us to take our Christianity serious. God, that we would consider how it is that we walk for you. And how it is that we desire to make an impact on the world that we're in. Lord, help us with these things. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about a character tonight, a character not like a strange character, but someone in the Bible. Honestly, someone in the Bible that's not spoken of much. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And what a great testimony to have. What is known about you? Well, two things. God loved me so much. I mean, someday we're going to get into heaven. Enoch, tell me your story. Oh, man, it was amazing. I lived about 300-some years. I was just a kid, right? I mean, at the time, he was just a kid. I was about 300-some years old, and I was walking down the way, and, you know, I was just talking to the Lord like I normally did, and all of a sudden, I was looking at him because he just wanted fellowship. Isn't that what it said? God translated him that he should not see death. Why did he do that? Because he could. Because God had translated him. That's why. What? Enoch, what are you doing in heaven? I don't know. First thing that's known about him. Second thing that's known about him is that he pleased God. There's a lot of things that could be said about a lot of people. But one of the very first examples of faith in our Bible is Enoch. As we study the life of Enoch, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God before there was a law. Enoch walked with God before Christ. Enoch walked with God long before Ephesians chapter 2, long before Hebrews chapter 11 was complete, long before the book of John or 1 John, long before Proverbs and Psalms. He never studied the life of David, never took comfort from the anguish that David went through and the comfort of God. No, Enoch just had a relationship with God personally. That's what he had. It was just Enoch and the Lord. And Enoch was good with that. Enoch lived a life that pleased God. Does your life please God? Say, no, I don't want to do that because then I'll be in heaven. If I please God, he's going to take me out. Enoch is the only character that we see in the Bible that happened to. So no worries. Please God with your life. So let's ask ourselves the question, does my life please God? Do I live a life that others would say, I don't know much about him, but I know this, he pleases the Lord. I don't know this about her, but she walks with God. Hey, there's characters in our life. There's people in our life. Aren't the wealthiest, might not be the smartest, but they have this testimony that they please God and walk with God. They're few and far between, unfortunately. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5. We'll get more information. This is an introduction, then we'll get to our points. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. I'm going to read about Enoch. This is the account of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. So, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it tells us that Enoch pleased God. And number 2, as we look at this in verse 22 of chapter 5, Enoch walked with God. By walking with God, that pleased God. It's nice. Where were we? I had all five. Oh, yesterday. Whew. Yesterday, we were at that walk, right? There's I thought the total number of people that walked was just under 1,500 people. So there we are at the Highland Bowl. Anybody ever been to the Highland Bowl? Ever see that? So imagine 1,500 people in there. It's all, they're selling or giving out t-shirts. So 90% of the people all have the same outfit on. And then I got, and then I'm half parented. So Sarah's doing visits and there, me and my five kids are there. And then their cousins show up. And then more cousins show up. And there's Hills, and there's hot dogs, and there's donuts, and there's hot chocolate, and there's Capri Suns, and a lot of people in mud.
Nice.
Yeah. So constantly, Sam, Joe, Abby, Sophie, Hudson, Sam, Joe, counting constantly. Then we start the walk. It's a walkway. It's a normal, typical city sidewalk. So you can fit about 1.5 people wide. 1,500 people. Whew, 2 miles. Everybody going the same pace. It's not like running. So the fast people weren't out in front. The slow people were intermixed all throughout. And I'm constantly... I picked ones that I knew were going to be more maintenance. So Hudson is right with me. Hudson, hold my hand. Hudson, hold my... It would have been so much easier if he just, of his own will, walked with me. It would have been easier if he just stood close to me where I wouldn't have to constantly be wondering where Hudson is. Question. Hudson, but where did you get that? Like, where did that stick come from? What? Put those rocks down. Flowers... Just walk with me. And I wonder if God does that with us.
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Stop. What? Get. Come. Put. Just walk with me. Because if you would just walk with me, that would really please me. But I want to go do my thing. I want to go explore over here. I want to go look over here. I want to see what's over here. No. Just walk with me. And that's what Enoch did. Enoch just walked with God. And it pleased God. Are we any different? Would it not please God if we walked with God? And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 360 and 5 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There it is. There's the life, an account of Enoch. That's what we know about Enoch. I'd be happy if that's what was known of me. I pleased God. Because I walked with God. How do you walk? How do you walk tonight? In Hebrews chapter 11, tell me the topic of Hebrews chapter 11. Faith. How am I to walk? By faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Why? Was Enoch so pleasing to the Lord? Because he walked by faith. Would that be any different for you and I? No. If we walked by faith, would that please God? Yes. If we walked with the Lord, would that be pleasing to God? Yes. Do we walk with God? How to walk with the Lord. Number one, go to Psalm 51. I have 6 points. 3 start with the word P, or the letter P. 3 start with the letter C. Hopefully that'll be easier. Psalm 51, better term. Psalm 51, in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Our walk ought to be proactive. What does that mean? That's enthusiastic. What does it say? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How ought I walk with the Lord? I ought to walk with God with joy. Was everything right in David's life? No. Anybody familiar with Psalm 51? What's that? Psalm, what is it? He's confessing his, what we would almost consider, unpardonable sin before God. We know the circumstances. We read that in Samuel. And he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, our walk with the Lord is one of joy. It's enthusiastic. It's exciting to live the Christian life. It ought to be joyful to live the Christian life. Did David not have heartache? He certainly did. Study the life of David. We jump from story to story with David. David and Goliath. Anointing of kingdoms. The greatest king, a man after God's own heart. But in between there, man, he had some deep valleys. Long, deep valleys. He didn't experience what his son Solomon got to experience, in that there was peace in Israel. No, they were constantly at war. Constantly. The enemies of God constantly knocking on their door. Constantly invading. Back and forth. Remember the story of Ziklag and all the... They wanted to kill him. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Our walk ought to be joyous. Some time ago, it was a few months ago, my mechanic's wife went into the nursing home. I went and visited her and asked the mechanic, I said, what is she like? He said, ginger ale. So we brought her ginger ale. I didn't know. So we bring her ginger ale. She's diabetic, so we brought diet ginger ale. And there we are. We're talking, and so we're walking in there. There are some sad room after room after room of sad circumstances. And not one time did I look at that and go, man, I wish I could switch spots with that person. There's a lady just sitting in the chair, just screaming, while the aide is working with her. I don't know what was going on there. Roommates fighting over control of the remote control. There was one remote, one TV. The one lady had it, didn't like what the other one. They're throwing things, yelling at each other. As we're walking out, I said, let me die at home. I never want to be there. Those people are miserable. Whoever wants to switch spots with those that are miserable? Nobody. Who wants to switch spots with those that have joy? Everybody. So when our walk is enthusiastic for the things of God, and we have the joy of salvation, not joy of every circumstance, the joy of my salvation. Friday night, Seth taught a lesson in our young adults. Excellent. About regeneration, about renewal, and redemption. The threefold act of salvation to our body, soul, and spirit. Woo! We had some questions coming out of that lesson, I'm telling you. It was good. Hey, that when you start studying the depth of our salvation, whoo, that's good stuff. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, does anybody want what you got? No. Is it because we're miserable? Is our walk one of misery or joy? Our walk ought to be proactive. I used to tell my students and young adults, I want them to want my life. Not because I have the fastest cars or nicest cars or the biggest house, but because I have joy. an abundance of joy. Look at John chapter 10. Look at this. This is how walking with the this is what walking with the Lord does. John chapter 10. Say, Pastor, you went real short this morning. How's that shaping up for tonight? That was kind of nice. Not looking good. Now we're trying. John chapter 10, in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And look at what Christ comes. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hey, when I walk with the Lord, I recognize that I have an abundant life. If we start thinking about the blessings of God in our life, could we not identify that we have been greatly blessed? Our lady sang a great song tonight. Why is that so great? Why does that song bring tears to our eyes? Because each of those points we can look at and go, yep, 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 every time. I've visited some places in this world where they don't have much. But they can still have the abundant life through Christ. Our life ought to be proactive and enthusiastic about the joy of our salvation. An abundant life. It also gives us Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Go there. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 is this. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Abundant power. My life is exciting because I have an abundant life. I have abundant access to abundant power of God. What does abundant mean? More than I need. When, if you're talking to someone about, maybe they went for a run. Oh, I didn't run so good. What was your, and I asked this question, what was the limiting factor? Say, what does that mean? What was the thing that hindered your run? Was it your legs weren't strong enough? Did you have hills? Was your breathing not strong enough? Did you not have enough air? Was the wind in your face? What was limiting you? Hey, it says here that we have the abundant power of God in our life. What can't we accomplish? What's our limiting factor? Me. I'm the limiting factor. God is not limited. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he has abundantly supplied. God's work will never lack God's provision. Never. If we're involved in the work of the Lord, promise you, we will have the resources to do it. Strength, money, time, manpower, all of those things he handles abundantly. So my walk, how ought my walk to look? If I'm walking with the Lord, what does it look like? It looks proactive. It looks enthusiastic. It looks progressive. Say, ooh, we don't like that word. Progressive means increasing by little. Not changing with compromise. Look at Luke 2:52. Jesus Christ, what? Increased in what? Wisdom and stature. He increased. He progressed. Right? I was looking at some... we're getting our yearbook ready for next year. And we were looking through last year's yearbook. And some of our young people are like, oh, I didn't change. You did. I have the pictures to prove it. One calendar year, amazing. We see family sometimes, and if they don't see the kids too often, whoa, the kids got big! Yeah, they grew up. They do that over time. It's not like, Hudson's birthday is this week, so it's not like he's going to go from 7 this week to 10. No, there's 8 in between, and 9. Hey, so is our walk with the Lord. Our walk is progressive. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll show you what I mean. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Sometimes we get frustrated. I'm not changing fast enough. Slow it down. Progress. Move forward, yes. But it's not going to be this miraculous thing overnight. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. Anybody do gardens? Now's We're starting to get ready for garden season, right? Now's the time where you take seeds and plant them. Is this the time of year for seeds? Blake, is this time for seeds? Or is it past? You don't know? Do we have any planters? Is it time for seeds? You're a farmer.
Seeds usually start in March.
March. Seeding starts in March.
March, and then right now you're taking all the little sprouts.
Yes, and transferring them. It takes time. It takes time. We put a little seed in a little soil. We come by, and we watch them. We've had school projects where, all right, right, Mrs. Hodges, we put stuff in, and man, that's somewhat frustrating because I demand corn today. But growth takes time. Well, I don't see the growth. I don't see it coming up. I don't see it actually moving. Little by little, it's progressing. Our walk ought to be progressive in that we are growing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. There's no time limit on that. Hey, if you're 65 years old, you ought to still be studying your Bible. If you're 30 years old, you ought to be studying your Bible. If you're 10 years old, you ought to be studying your Bible. Why? Because I want you to grow in knowledge, God says. Progressively, slowly, yes. Now, you don't have to learn everything today, but you ought to be learning. Grow in grace. What does that take? That takes some going through some things. I would like to think that I'm, the older I get, the more gracious I get. Why? Because I've gone through some things. I've experienced the grace of God, therefore I should be quicker to extend the grace of God. That's a slow process. Don't get frustrated with it taking time. But as I walk with the Lord, I ought to be proactive, enthusiastic about it, excited about it. Number two, it ought to be progressive. There ought to be growth in my life, not just physically, but spiritually. Are you closer to the Lord now than you've been? How's your walk with God? Thirdly, persistent. Continuance. Or keep on. To carry on. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We're talking about our walk with God. Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. What does that mean? How can I walk with God? It's not like Hudson yesterday. It's not like I can go up to the Lord and just grab his hand. It's not like I can just partner right up and get right next to him. How do I walk with God? By being excited and enthusiastic about my salvation. Number two, by progressively growing. Number three, being persistent, continuing in faith. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. That we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Hey, continue in the faith. Be persistent. Stop looking for a way out, but look for a way to stay in. Keep on. Carry on. Continue. I'm not saying that we don't get disheartened. But sometimes we have to push through disheartening and being persistent to carry on, to continue on in the faith. Not because there's lack of tribulation. Here, through much tribulation, it says in this passage. Much tribulation. We continue in the faith. We don't give up. We're persistent. Our walk ought to be persistent. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Our fourth point tonight. Our walk ought to be conforming to the image of Christ. It says in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That our life ought to mimic or be similar to or be the image of or be consistent with, it ought to change us in a way that we respond as Christ responded. We act as Christ acted. Say, I'm not dying for anybody. I can't save anyone. Yeah, but there was an attitude by which Christ ministered. One of compassion and love. One of conviction. We ought to conform our life. Ours ought to match or agree with Christ's. So is that our life? Or are we just content with being worldly? I'm good with being... I'm good with knowing the latest songs. I'm good with knowing all the verses. I'm good with knowing the movie ratings. I like all that. Well, explain to me Proverbs chapter 3. I haven't read my Bible in a while. Are we content with that? Are we okay with that? Are we okay with not being conformed in any way to the image of Christ? He says, if you're gonna call yourself or if you're gonna abide with me, you're gonna have to change the way you walk. You're gonna have to change where you walk. Hey, you're gonna have to get serious about me. You're gonna have to conform. We don't like that word. No one's gonna tell me what to do. I ain't conforming to nobody. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. I'm not saying it, but that's what God said. Does your life match and agree with God's? Is there anywhere, any touch of holiness in our lives? Is there any touch of righteousness? Is there any touch in our life where we tell the flesh no? Are we conformed unto Him? We want to please the Lord. We want to walk with God. Then this is what we need to do. Ephesians chapter 4, our fifth point. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Is there an area where the world says yes and I say no? Is there anything? Is there anything that's off limits? Where is the line? Where does my walk differ from the walk of the world? Where do we deviate paths? Is it in our dress? Is it in our words? Is it in our actions? Is it what we drink? Is it what we smoke? Where is it? Where's the line? When are we no longer conformed to the world, but conformed to Christ? Where's the difference? Is there a difference in your life? Can anyone tell the difference? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond the bond of peace. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What do we see? In verse 3, we see unity. The ability to commune with one another. Is there communion among each other? Not that we're sharing a cracker, but that we have unity. A spiritual union. Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can we expect to be bound via spiritual union if my flesh is running so rampant? If I'm not walking in the Spirit. But do you see the benefit? If we walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's one or the other. We're either going to commune over the flesh or we're going to commune over the Spirit. Which one's it going to be? Well, if I'm going to please God, I've got to walk with God. And if I want to walk with God, then I'm going to have to commune over the unity of the Spirit. Lastly, first of all, we need to be proactive in our walk. Progressive, persistent, conformed, communion. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And our contentment. What does contentment mean? Satisfaction or complacence? I'm content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 8, it says, with food and raiment, therewith be content. In Psalm 16, verse 5, it tells me that the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. One of the direct dangers of walking with the Lord is that we get our eyes off of Christ, right? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider Him, right? That's who our focus is. But how can I walk with Him if I can't see Him? Because I'm so consumed with all the things that are around me, I'm not content with what I have. I'm not content with my walk, I want His walk. I want her walk. Contentment. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. As we saw in Genesis chapter 5, not only did he please God, he walked with God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How's your walk tonight? How's your walk tonight? Not your physical gait, not asking how far apart are the steps, or spiritually speaking. Are you progressing? Are you closer to God now? Have you wandered at all? away from the side of the Lord? Are you walking there pleasing the Lord? Are you proactive? Are you persistent? Does your life match or agree with Christ's? Are you able to commune with other Christians? Are you content? You think Enoch had it good? Do you know what generation he grew up in? He grew up in the generations of Noah. That was a rough group. They all had it, didn't have it easy. But because of his faith and his walk, it pleased God. See, my life hasn't been... Are you walking with the Lord tonight? Let's all stand. In 3 John, in verse 3, I'll read you this verse. Listen. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Is the Lord greatly joyed in us? Do we have the testimony that we please God? Do we have the testimony in our life that we walk with God? Do we walk in truth? In a moment, the music is going to play. I want you to evaluate in your life your walk with the Lord. Say, oh, I'm so glad this person's here. They need... I think the Lord wants you to evaluate your life. Compare in your life where you've been, where you should be. What have you picked up? Have you wandered off? Why not get back to where you ought to be? Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. Lord, whatever it is that you're dealing with anybody about. Lord, I call upon your Holy Spirit to just work mightily here. That men and women wouldn't be bound by their pride or their selfishness, but honest before you tonight. And if there's anger or bitterness or hatred or doubts in their heart, Lord, that they would lay those at your feet, and God, that they would walk by faith. They would walk a life that pleases you. Lord, help us with these things. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?